Well, I want to invite you this morning to take out a Bible. I hope you came to church with a Bible. I have my glow-in-the-dark Bible that I'm using this morning. But if you don't have a glow-in-the-dark, hopefully you got some pages. But you need your Bible. I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalm, chapter 92. And also turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. So find Psalm 92 and Hebrews, chapter 10. Psalm 92, Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to start something today that we're going to do all month in January, but I figured we're getting ready to come into New Year's, and I know everybody like me is making some New Year's resolutions. One of my New Year's resolutions is I just threw out all the candy in my house. I did. I told Pam yesterday, I said, get rid of every piece of candy. Candy is possessed by many devils. And in our house, there are legions, let me just tell you. And they are wanting to possess me, and I'm not going to allow them to possess me. And so last night, I said, baby, I want you to do something. I want you to make me a traditional meal. I want you to make me some chicken and dressing, turkey and dressing, and sweet potato casserole. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. I want some green beans. I want some of that gravy to go on it. I want a traditional meal. And she didn't know it, but I was setting down like it was my last meal before I go to the gallows, because I've got to lose some pounds over the course of the next few days. So I know everybody's making New Year's resolutions. Everybody's trying to get, what's up, Pat? Buddy, good to see you. We're trying to do first things, right? So we're trying to make some New Year's resolutions. Well, we're going to talk about some first things first that we as a church family are going to do first, because we're getting ready to go into a new building. And these are the things that are going to become the priorities for us over the course of the next 30 days. That's going to be really a compass for us over the next year. And today, I'm going to talk about one of the most downplayed important spiritual disciplines of our time. Right now, I just want you to understand that in the 60s, 75 to 80% of Americans attended church. In the last decade alone, we have dropped from 80% almost in church attendance on Sunday morning down to 50% of Americans attend church. Now that sounds really bad, but what's really, really bad is those who claim to be Christ followers are now saying that they only attend church once a month. So church attendance amongst Christians is declining. Now some people say that's due to us having media outlets and people can sit at home, but I want to tell you something. God never intended for us to do church through a television camera, right? So I want to talk about the importance of church attendance today. I want to talk about putting first things first, putting God first in the area of our church attendance. I know it's going to sound really weird to be preaching on that, but I have such a burden for this because my friends around the country are telling me that anywhere from 40 to 50% of their congregations aren't coming back. That they have leaders who fell out during the pandemic and have not been back to church and are not coming back to church. Yet those same people find their way to Outback, to Walmart, to Lowe's, but they just don't see the importance of coming into the house of God. Now I'm going to make a statement, and I want you to hear me today. I dare you to give our church, to give God and our church 1 year of your life. Go after God hard with me for the next 12 months. No excuses. Take all the excuses away. Make a New Year's resolution right now. Over the next 12 months, you're going to go after God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength like you've never went after God before. And I want to make you a promise that at the end of this 12 months, your life will not be the same. I promise you, it will not be the same. So with that said, let's talk about first things first, and let's talk specifically today about attending church and making the house of God a priority. I want you to understand God loves his house. God loves his people. God likes it when his people get together. So let's look at Psalm chapter 92 and verses 12 through 14. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I want you to read that out loud with me, please. Come on, everybody. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Listen, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. They shall bear fruit in old age. Praise the Lord for that. They shall be fresh and flourishing. All right. Now turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let me read it again. And let us consider one another. I want to submit to you that church attendance isn't just about you. It is actually considering one another and how to provoke one another to what God has called us to do and to live. Hear me today, God is a planner. God is a planner. Proof of this is in the first book of the Bible, in the first chapters of your Bible, you have God planting a garden in Eden. God is a planter. Psalm chapter 1, which is one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible, says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, but nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he shall be like a tree, come on now, help me say it, that is planted by the rivers of living water, that brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither. God told the children of Israel that he would plant them in their own land. When Jesus resurrected from the grave and Mary came to the tomb and ran in to see Jesus, when she actually encountered Jesus, do you know what he was dressed up like? He was dressed up like a gardener. Why is that? Because God is a planner. I believe that there's a curse that's plaguing the American church. It's called the curse of rootlessness. And let me tell you what the curse of rootlessness brings. The curse of rootlessness is fruitlessness. Why is it that the church doesn't have more impact in our communities? I'll tell you why. Because we are not, many of us are not rooted and grounded in the house of God. And God has not planted us in the house of the Lord. And so therefore, we're not bringing forth the right kind of fruit. The curse of rootlessness is fruitlessness. Say that out loud with me, please. The curse of rootlessness is fruitlessness. One more time. The curse of rootlessness is fruitlessness. How do I know that? Well, Adam, whenever he sinned against God, he was cast out of the garden, and the Bible tells us it would be hard to plant and to bring forth a crop. Cain and Abel, when Cain killed Abel, he was cursed to be a wanderer. The curse of rootlessness, wandering, is fruitlessness. The children of Israel, in unbelief, wandered for 40 years, didn't produce anything fruitful for 40 years. In the New Testament, there is a group of people called the seven sons of Sceva. Scevans were wanderers. They were nomads. Whenever they tried to cast out the devil in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached, they had the right formula. They had the right name. But when the devils came out, they jumped on them and beat them up, stripped them naked, and ran them out of town. Why did they not have authority? I'll tell you why. It wasn't that they didn't have the right name. It wasn't that they didn't have the right formula. It was the fact that they were wanderers. They were not submitted to anybody. And authority only comes by being submitted to someone in authority. So everybody, look at me today. I want you to know this. You can't build a family with a rootless man. So all of you single ladies that are in the room, I want to give you a word from the Lord. You can't build a family with a rootless man. Great families are built with rooted men. Some of you women ought to say amen to that. You can't build a church with rootless people.
You can't save a nation with a vagabond spirit. Did you hear what I just said? You can't have a revival in a nation with a vagabond spirit that never sticks with anything long enough to make a difference. I know some men who are 40 years old and they're still trying to figure out if they want to be an astronaut. How many know at 40 years old, you're probably not going to make it to be an astronaut? You need to stop worrying about trying to be an astronaut at 40 years old. In fact, what we need to do is cast the spirit of Buzz Lightyear out of you and help you find a place of sensibility. Come on, folks. You can't save a nation with a vagabond spirit, with somebody who doesn't know who God's called them to be, doesn't know what God's called them to do, doesn't know where God has planted them. God is a planter. What's interesting, there's many significant events throughout the scripture that have involved trees. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but sin originated from eating the fruit of a forbidden tree. The first clothes of religion that tried to cover man's sin were from the leaves of a fig tree. God promised Abraham a son under an oak tree. Elijah was depressed and suicidal, and he ran and sat underneath the juniper tree. Aaron's rod was a stick coming from an almond tree. It budded and produced fruit. The Ark of the Covenant was made from the acacia tree. Isaiah 55 says that all the trees of the field clap their hands when the winds begin to blow. They worship God and they clap their hands with the leaves that come off the tree. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 2 says, in the midst of the tree on either side of the river was the tree of life, and which bare 12 manner of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were the healing of the nation. God's going to use trees even in the new heaven and the new earth. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem involved palm trees and them waving them. On the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles in Leviticus chapter 23, y'all with me? The Hebrews were to take the palm branches and rejoice before God. Simon Maccabee, like Jesus, entered Jerusalem with thanksgiving and with palm branches. The crowd welcomed Jesus by singing and crying, Hosanna, saying, we beseech you, or we call for you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. At Jesus' triumphal entry, there was a plea for salvation. So the palm tree and the palm branches that were used to herald Jesus' triumphal entry speaks of celebration and salvation. So when we think about trees, that's what we think about: celebration, salvation, fruitfulness. That's the reason the Bible tells us in Psalm 92:12 that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Did you know that there are over 300 species of palm trees that grow from 3 foot to over 100 foot tall? I'm going to have them put up a pic right now of some palm trees. This is a pic from Israel. These are date palms. They produce over 300 pounds of dates per year. The picture that you're looking at right now is coming from the Dead Sea area close to En Gedi. This is an absolute desert. Nothing can live there, but these palm trees are flourishing. The African oil palm gives a higher yield of fruit than any other palm tree or any other tree by that standard that can be planted. The palm tree has been called the representative tree of Palestine and is a symbol of the Holy Land. When you go to the Holy Land, there's two trees that you're going to see everywhere: olive trees, palm trees. Olive trees, palm trees. Olive trees produce olive oil, representative of the power of the Holy Spirit. Palm trees produce dates, representing the fruitfulness, the sweet fruitfulness as the result of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you something. We are to be trees that are planted in the house of the Lord, palm trees that are planted in the house of the Lord that flourish in our time. Revelation 7, verse 9, says that there is a righteous group that were clothed with white robes. It's standing around the throne of God. They have palm branches in their hand. Again, the palm tree all through the Bible is a picture of the life of a Christian who is planted in the house of the Lord. So with that said, I want us to go back to Psalm 92 because I'm going to preach this for just a moment. Psalm 92, verse 12 through 14. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in their old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. How do you bear fruit? How do you stay fresh? How do you flourish in life? I'll tell you how you do it. You give God's house priority in your life. Get planted in the house of the Lord and you will flourish. This is the reason the writer Hebrews comes along and says, let us consider how we can provoke one another to good works. I need you. You need me. I need you. You need me. We've got to have each other to live victoriously. We got to have each other. There's something about pollination. There's a cross-pollination that takes place. I'm trying to stay calm here, but I feel the preach running up on me. There's a cross-pollination that takes place amongst believers when they get together. There's something about rubbing shoulders with somebody in the house of God that gives you something you didn't have before you got into God's house. When you're planted in the house of the Lord, you flourish. So many Christians bounce from here to there, here to there. Don't be one of those people. God never called you to be potted. God called you to be planted. I'm going to say it again. God didn't call you to be potted. God called you to be planted. You find a house. If this is not the house for you, you find the house of the Lord that God wants you to be in and get yourself in that house and grow some deep roots in that house. You say, but it's not a perfect church. I know it's not perfect. You're there, right? If it was just me there, it would be a perfect church. Come on. I mean, no, that's a lie, right? There's no such thing as a perfect church. But in the middle of an imperfect church, there is a people who can be planted in the house of the Lord, who will bring forth their fruit in their season, and their leaf shall not wither. Be like a palm tree. Get planted into the house of God. Now, let me show you the benefits of getting planted in the house of God. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall be like a palm tree that brings forth and flourishes. Do you know why it says that? Let me give you some facts about the palm tree you need to know, and I want you to apply these facts to your life being planted in the house of God. Number one, the palm tree always breaks bands. How many has ever seen bands grow into trees? You ever put a band around a tree and you've seen a band? The tree, as it grows around the band. That doesn't happen with palm tree. When you put a band around a palm tree and the palm tree begins to grow, guess what it does? As it flourishes, it breaks off the bands that are trying to restrict it. Now, other trees don't break bands. As they grow, again, the band digs into the wood like an old clothesline wire sunk deep into a tree. I want to tell you something. Satan tries his best to put bands on all of us. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how much you speak in tongues. I don't care how much you prophesy. Satan is always trying to put bands on us, and a lot of Christians have bands around the certain parts of their life, and they've just allowed their Christian walk to grow over those bands. But you find me a man or a woman of God who is planted in the house of the Lord, has made the house of God a priority in their life, and I'll show you somebody that is snapping bands off their life left and right. They're always breaking through barriers. It doesn't seem like they can be stopped. Do you know why? Because palm trees break bands. 1 Corinthians 15, thanks be unto God who always gives us the victory. A palm tree always gets the victory. I know it might look like that I'm under right now, but I'm not under, I'm over. Come on, somebody. I'm not a victim, I'm a victor. Why? Because palm trees always breaks bands. I bakes bands, that's hard to say. I want to tell you, folks, I'm thankful that in the early years, I dug myself into the house of God. Pam and I were part of a church here in this town. The second church I was a part of was at college. I stayed in that church all through college. Did they have problems? Yeah, they had problems. But I made up my mind I was going to be faithful in the house of the Lord, and we served in that house. I wasn't a pastor, but I was serving. I was giving. I was visiting. We were teaching. We were doing everything we could do. Why? Because the house of God was a priority. I didn't want to be a preacher who just talked about it. I wanted to be a Christian who lived the priority of God's house in my life. And then when we left there and we went to pastor, I've only pastored 3 churches, and all of those churches, I plugged into those churches. Pam and I have become one of the largest givers in our church, in every church that we've ever pastored. We were the largest givers. We were always out front. If I told people we wanted to move chairs, I was down and I was helping those men move chairs. They say, no, pastor, you don't do it. And I say, no, I need to do it. Because people won't follow you where you have not been yourself. And people don't want to follow a dictator. People want to follow a leader. And a leader means you get your hands dirty. And can I tell you something that God's done for me since I've been faithful to the house of the Lord? He's broke bands, financial bands. He's broke goat growth bands. And everybody who's told us that we can't pastor a church or build a church in the middle of a pandemic. Well, guess what? I'm a tree that is planted in the house of the Lord, and I'm a palm tree that breaks every branch. Come on, anybody want the restrictions off your life? Give God's house a priority. Number 2, the second thing palm trees do is palm trees will not break. They will not break. Did you know that? Now, I mean, they will, but it's almost impossible to break them. I'm going to have them to put up a picture. This is a picture of palm trees in Florida bending under the wind of a storm. They'll almost bend completely 90 degrees. For those of you who've been in Florida, you know I'm telling you the truth. They'll bend like 90 degrees. The wind blows as hard as it can blow. Strong winds of storms, they uproot and they destroy ordinary trees. Hurricane Andrew's wind broke thousands of trees in Florida. But there were palms still standing. Do you know why? Because palm trees know how to bend without breaking. Palm trees know how to bend without breaking. Folks, the storms of life may come, but palm trees don't break. Storms may come, but the child of God's not going to break. Somebody who's planted in the house of the Lord, they have a nourishment system that other people don't know. I don't know how in the world people go through tragedies, walk through struggles, family issues, money issues, sickness issues, loss, family loss. How in the world people make it without a church family, without some kind of ground to draw some nutrients from, without other people to lay their head on and cry every now and again. But you show me somebody who's planted in the house of the Lord, and the storm clouds will come and blow, and they'll just bend and bend and bend, and everybody will look around and watch them and say, I don't know if they're going to make it through this. But whenever the storm quits blowing, whenever the wind quits blowing, the rain quits beating, do you know who's standing there upright and strong and still producing? Somebody who is planted in the house of the Lord. Somebody say amen to that. You know why? Because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Let the storm come. Jesus has got me. Come on, somebody. Let life happen. Jesus has got me. Let sickness happen. Jesus has got me. Let pandemics happen. Jesus has got me. Let financial adversity come my way. Jesus has got me. I'm going to make it through because I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. About to preach myself happy now. Number 3, the third thing about palm trees you need to know is the palm tree not only survives, it flourishes in the desert. Palm trees flourish in the desert. The palm tree doesn't just grow in the desert, it flourishes in the desert. I showed you a picture of all those palm trees down in the desert by the Dead Sea. I'm telling you, folks, it's hot down there. It's hot down there. I believe that's where the lake of fire is going to be, on the southern end of the Dead Sea. I'm telling you right now, that's the reason the lake of fire is down there. It's hot already. It's hot down there in the lowest part of the planet. It's hot there. But a palm tree, you plant it, and it does just fine. Why is that? Because palm trees don't just grow in the desert, they flourish. The roots of a palm tree find moisture deep below the burning sand. I want you to listen to me now. The Christian has to go deep with God if he's going to flourish in the desert of this world. You might want to tweet that. The Christian has to go deep with God if you're going to flourish in the desert of this world. To go deep, we have to live the Christian life. To go deep, we have to be prayer warriors. To go deep, we have to practice spiritual discipline. We have to get back to the basics of what it means to be a Christian. We need to not only practice theology, we need to practice neology. We need to get to know God again. You know, many Christians don't flourish because they're only looking for nourishment on the surface. Mic drop. Most Christians I know don't flourish because they're only looking for nourishment on the surface. They go to churches who all they do is scratch the surface. They never get into spiritual things, talk about the deep things of God, never talk about controversial scriptures, don't want to talk about sin because, my God, nobody will come and listen to that. And you know what happens? We produce a bunch of flaky, shallow Christians who are a mile wide and an inch deep, right? But what's got to happen is we've got to go back to some basic things. We've got to learn to be planted in the house of God. And we need to go and get some deep roots so that when the desert, dark, dry times of our life come, we flourish. Shallow Christians look for world refreshment, but the world never satisfies. Shallow Christians chase the fashion. Shallow Christians have to be a part of every fad. Shallow Christians enjoy the entertainment of the world, but they never know what it means to entertain God. Shallow Christians. I pray to God we're never those kind of Christians. I don't want to be a shallow Christian. I remember when I was in Bible college, we would get into certain passages of Scripture, and they'd say, well, nobody can really understand this, so we're going to move on to the next passage. And I would always say, hold it. Why in the world would God put it in the Bible? Especially in the book of Revelation, they'll say, hey, nobody can understand this, so we're not going to study this. Well, they should have called it something other than Revelation. They should have called it mystery. They should have called it unknown. The book of Revelation is called Revelation for a reason. It's revealing something. God wants us not. Folks, I believe if it's in your Bible, I don't care how hard it is to understand, God wants you to understand it. God wants us to know something about Him in those specific areas. Folks, we're not going to be a church that's an inch deep. I'm telling you right now. We're going to be a church that's going to be a mile deep. We're going to be really deep so that we can go into the deep. Now, we're not going to be so deep that we're useless. Anybody ever met a deep Christian that they were so heavenly minded they're no earthly good? I don't know how that's possible, really, to be heavenly. If you're actually heavenly minded, you'll be real earthly good. But you know what I mean. They're so spiritual, they can't live right. They can tell you everything spiritual. They got the lingo, but they don't know how to live the life. We're not going to be those kinds of things. I'm talking about the kind of people who have deep roots into the things of God, and it manifests in flourishing in their daily life for the world to see that Jesus is on the throne. Number four, let me tell you the fourth thing about palm trees. You get a group of them together, they form an oasis. One palm tree standing alone doesn't provide much shade from the burning sun, but you get a group of palm trees together, they form an oasis. When we as a Christians stand together, when we get in and we stay in church, listen, the more palm trees we get planted in this place, the bigger the oasis comes. And people who are hungry and thirsty in this dry and barren land will wander up in this place. There'll come a time, folks, that they'll start pointing, look at that oasis. They'll drive by and say, there's an oasis over there. There's an oasis. Something will tell them. Why is that? Because there's a group of palm trees there that are planted. Often in the desert, you'll find an orange and lemon trees growing under the shade of palms that are grouped together. When we group ourselves together in the church and we provide protection for others, when we do what the Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as some do, the Bible says, behold, and how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together. When we come together, you're going to find out that there are people in life that they have fruit and things in them they didn't know they have. But when they come into the oasis of a bunch of other palm trees, all of a sudden they begin to bear fruit in their own life. me give you the next thing. Palm trees can withstand abuse. Palm trees can withstand abuse. The heart of an ordinary tree is dead. Do you know that? But the heart of a palm tree is alive. The life of the palm tree is on the inside, not on the outside. It's one of the few trees that's actually like that. Most of it, other trees are just the opposite. The rings, as they grow, represent new life. But the heart of a palm tree is on the inside. And as a result, outward abuse does not affect the life or the quality of the palm tree. You can find palm trees that have scars all over them, but they're still alive on the inside. Why is that? Because we have life deep within our heart. And I want to tell you something I've learned about Christians, real Christians. I'm not talking about the Johnny-come-lately Christians. I'm not talking about the jellyfish backbone Christians. Y'all don't know anybody like that, do you? I'm not talking about those Christians. I'm talking about give me a seasoned saint that has been through hell and back and still got a praise. Show me a seasoned saint. I don't care if they've been saved just a year or 10 years or 20 years. Give me a seasoned saint who has walked through the darkest seasons of their life. Yes, they're scarred, they're beaten, and they're battered, but on the inside, what happened on the outside didn't kill what was going on the inside. They still got a praise on the inside of them. Why is that? I promise you that person's planted somewhere in the house of the Lord getting nourishment, not only from them, from the deep things of God, but from the other trees that are around them. There, that person is a palm tree that's planted. That's the kind of saints I want to be attached to. I want to be attached to some saints that know how to fight when the fight gets on. Right? I don't want to be attached to some saints that run every time trouble comes along. I want to be attached to somebody like Billy Joe, who's went through the hell of ministry before trying to do the will of God and still standing strong today, still standing up there playing his bass and singing and praising God, and everybody look at him and say, I don't know how he's doing that, carrying the pressure that he is. I'll tell you how he's doing that, because what's going on the outside isn't near as important as what's going on the inside. That's the kind of man and woman that God is looking for. I wish somebody would say yes and amen to that right now. The palm tree, number six, the fruit gets sweeter the older it gets. The fruit gets sweeter the older it gets. Now, this is for my seasoned saints in here, not for all you young chicks. But for you young chicks, you need to pay attention. Because it's coming. Yeah, oh yeah. All the bees. See, life is an A right now. I'm talking to the young ones. To the young ones. Life is an A right now. But the bee life is coming. Yeah? Bunions, balding, bifocals, and bulges. Come on, somebody. The bee life is coming. And after you get past the bee life, the sea life comes along, right? Cataracts and things like that. And then you get past the sea life and D life comes along. Your teeth fall out and you got to go get you some dentures, right? Life isn't always. Y'all are so crazy. Life isn't always an A life. You're going to get older. But can I tell you something? Walking with Jesus today is sweeter than it was when I got saved at 12. Oh, it was good when I was 12 years old. But do you know what? I've stayed connected to Jesus. Can I tell you? He gets sweeter. As the days go by, it gets sweeter. As the moments fly, his love is richer, deeper, fuller. Sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by. We should organize that. It does get sweeter as the days go by. As a palm tree grows older, its fruit grows sweeter. Let me give you number seven. This is the last one. Or no, I got one more. The palm tree cannot be grafted. It's one of the few trees that can't be grafted. Grafting actually kills the palm tree. If you try to graft something into it, it kills it. To graft a Christian into the world is to kill his testimony and his influence. The Christian has to be distinctive. Are y'all listening to me? The Christian has to be distinctive. The Bible says if we love this world, the love of the Father is not in us. I don't know how you can stretch that any other way. The love of this world means the love of the Father is not in us. A Christian should be different than the rest of the world. Used to, we look different, we act different, we talk different. Now, the world has crept so much into the church, and the church has become so much like the world that it's really hard to tell the difference between the two. But listen to the words of Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Christians should be different. So you can't bring a little bit of the world into your palm tree. It'll kill it. Right? Let me give you the last one. Are y'all okay? Y'all gonna like this one. Number 8, palm trees don't burn. Where's the note at? It's not on there? Well, I must not put it there. Palm trees will not burn. You'll never see a palm tree that is being used for firewood because it refuses to burn like ordinary wood. I think that's so good. I think that's so good. Because I'm going to tell you, that's got two applications. Number one, the fire of life, the fire of this world can turn up. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to bow. Because palm trees don't burn. But let me give you the better explanation that I love. Whenever I leave this world, I don't have to worry about a place called hell. In the church, we don't preach about hell anymore, but it's a real place. Jesus talked about it like it was a real place and encouraged men not to go there. And he said, it's a place of suffering. He said, I want you to know you'll burn there. But do you know what I can tell you? If I'm planted in the house of the Lord, flourishing in the house of God, whenever I close these eyes in death, it's going to be heaven, 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 the sweet by and by. I don't ever have to worry about burning at all. Now, folks, that's good. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Isn't that awesome? So, how many of you will say, Pastor, I'm going to do my best this year to be like a palm tree planted in the house of God? Let me see your hand. This year, palm tree planted in the house of God. I'm not talking about upholding unrighteousness or lascivious living. I'm not talking about following leadership that's doing immoral things. I'm talking about saying to God, God, I'm going to be a tree planted by the rivers of living water. I'm going to bring forth fruit. I want you to lift those hands. Lift them up. Come on, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up. Say 2021. I can't hear you. Say 2021 is going to be the best year of my life. I want to say it again. Say 2021 is going to be the best year of my life. 2020 is gone. I can't do nothing else about it. I suffered some loss. It was hard, but it's gone. 2021 is going to be the best year of my life. Come on, say 2021. Is going to be the most prosperous year of my life. Say it, 2021 is going to be the healthiest year of my life. 2021 is going to be the best family year of my life. Come on, shout this out. Say 2021, I'm going to put God first, and the Spirit of God is going to be poured out in the earth. Come on, say this. Say 2021 We're going to see the greatest revival that we've ever seen in the history of America. Come on, do you believe that right now? If you do, would you stand to your feet and give God a praise? Do you believe it right now? Stand to your feet and give God a praise. 2021 is going to be the best year of my life.